Fev, so are you embracing the sunshine today, or are you shutting the curtains and keeping cool?
Yes, I'm embracing the sunshine from the shade.
Right.
I like being in the shade and looking out at the sunshine.
Yes.
You know, I like hot days, but I don't like to be, you know, roasting in the sun.
Bit of dappled sunlight, I find. Yes. It's very relaxing, isn't it? Maybe with
That's a
bit.
Word
book.
I haven't heard for ages.
Dappled. What, dappled? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there we are. Every day is a school day on this show. Right then, let's talk about the technology story around this week. And you're going to have to explain what this is all about, because with some technology stories, and this one is definitely one of them, it doesn't matter how many times I read it, I'm still utterly clueless as to what they're talking about. So explain
all. And it's my fault because I sent it to you at the last minute, for which I profusely apologise. Now, okay, so this is important, and that's why I've sort of shared this. So Microsoft has announced 2 days ago a product called Windows 365, and it's, you might have heard of Office 365, where instead of having Word and Excel and that installed on your computer, it runs up in the cloud, that's to say on their servers, and you access it from any internet device, so you can run applications that way. But you would always still have to have Windows installed on your laptop or desktop computer. This is a step further, and it's quite remarkable what they've done. The whole operating system, Windows, is going to run, eventually, this is the way it's all going, and for businesses as early as next month, it's going to run on their servers. So instead of having Windows installed on your computer, it will be installed on their computer, your apps will be installed on their computer, and all your data will be installed on their computer. All you then have to do is have an internet-connected device, and it can be an iPad, it doesn't have to be, you know, it can be a Macintosh, it can be a Windows device, it can be even a smartphone. It will run on there, but it will stream the contents of what your screen looks like at any given moment. So all the calculations, all the programs are run remotely.
Right.
Yeah? And you are just a host for it. Your device is just the screen and the mouse and the keyboard, if that's the way you want to use it, or the touch interface. So this has a number of great advantages, and it has a number of really worrying features.
Now,
the reason why Microsoft do this is, in the old days, people used to get Windows with their machine. Not many people ever upgraded their version of Windows. They'd normally get a new version of Windows when it was like that. So you could be using the same version of Windows for 13 years and they wouldn't make any money out of you.
Mm.
Yeah, and it was just pretty much the same with Office and stuff like that. With this, it's a subscription. So you pay a subscription and you get Windows. And when you stop paying a subscription, you lose access to it. Just in the way that, you know, if you subscribe to Spotify, for example, you've got access to all this music, but you don't own it. You just you're just paying for access to it. And in the same way, you're paying for access to the computer services. But so the great things are, they will update the system for you. So all this thing about maintenance and antivirus and all of this, it will go away because they'll run it all. They'll manage your system for you, which is great if you're not tech or you don't have the time.
Mm.
That's truly fantastic. The ability to then, you know, pick up your iPad or pick up your smartphone or go to a variety of computers at, you know, someone else's house or at the office or at home and have exactly the same computer system running and appearing on your screen is fantastic. We've already seen this work with gaming. So people used to install games on their computers or games consoles. Now they're run in the cloud, i.e. on their computers, and streamed in real time. That's to say, moment by moment, how the picture looks on the screen is just streamed as like it streams a video, like it streams a film. It's streaming in real time what your computer looks like. Do you follow me?
Yeah. But okay, so there's some of the positives to
the
it.
The negatives.
What are the downsides then?
Well, cost.
Yeah.
Yeah. And privacy.
Yes.
Because all your data is in, by definition, in the cloud. Not just the operating system and the software that you're running, but all the data. And this is true to an extent anyway. I mean, don't forget, when we have email services, one way or another, those are stored in the cloud, right? They're stored on servers all around the internet and not just on one of them either. So, you know, if you're worried about it, you should also be worried about your emails, unless you're sending encrypted emails, in which case, good for you. But this is more than that. This is all your documents. This is your notes. This is your, you know, anything that you do on your computer or handheld device is going to be in their possession. And there's two things to say about that. Microsoft have moved towards making money in different ways. So they used to criticize Google for years. They used to say, you know, Google, get yourself a proper business model. Don't be turning your users' data into money. And now they're doing the same thing. And Windows 10, in my opinion, is spyware. All it does is collect information about you, which they can turn into money. So there is always a balance in life between privacy and security on the one hand and convenience on the other. This is supremely convenient as long as you have internet access. And that's the other thing, by the way. If your internet goes down, you lose access to your computer completely. You can't type a letter. But assuming you have internet access, it's hugely convenient to be able to go from device to device and just pick up where you left off.
I mean, you mentioned cost, though, a minute ago as being one of the downsides. So, how does the cost of this stack up, really?
Well, we don't know yet. So this has been announced for businesses first, small to large businesses, and it's going to come as early as next month, okay? We don't have the pricing yet, but whatever it is, it's going to be more expensive than, you know, upgrading your Windows every 10 years or whatever it is. So they want to do that, but... So there is this cost thing, and it's inevitably going to cost you. But, you know, the security aspects of this are fantastic. If they do a proper job of keeping your version of Windows updated, you know, fully scanned, it could be game-changing. But on the other hand, all the eggs are in one basket. If someone hacks Microsoft servers, or rather I should say when someone hacks Microsoft servers, then it's a very big target painted on Microsoft's back because it's running all these individual systems. And we've seen that with ransomware recently. So ransomware is where someone's computer gets infected, they scramble all the data and then ransom it back to them. They say, if you ever want to see your data again, you've got to pay this amount of money. Now, what we've seen recently is they're going not for individual customers, that's still happening, but they're going for like a key customer, like a software provider. So imagine if they hit Microsoft successfully, there will literally be billions of computers compromised. Billions of users could lose their data all at once. I mean, that's almost... it's almost a world-ending event. Imagine everyone losing their data all at once. It's catastrophic.
Yeah.
So you see what I mean? It's definitely a curate's egg.
Yeah, it really is.
But it is exciting. It's showing the way that things are moving. And in a way, I think what it's saying is that the power is moving away from citizens towards corporations and governments.
Yeah,
you know,
I get that.
We're losing control over our own data in a way. And eventually... there won't be an option to run it on your own computer. That will be seen as arcane, and you'll have to run a different operating system.
There is a certain amount of inevitability to all of this, I suppose, isn't there, really? Fevzi, thank you for that. We're talking technology with Fevzi Turkalp from Gadget Detective. And we're coming on to our gadget of the week, Fevzi, which is what?
Okay, so it's called a Logitech Combo Touch. Logitech is the brand, and Combo Touch is the name of a product, which is essentially, it's a case combined with a keyboard, like a typewriter-style keyboard, for an iPad Pro. So these are for people who bought one of these new iPad Pros. So it's worth just putting this in context and explaining why this is special. So Apple recently launched their amazingly powerful iPad Pros, the 2021 models, and they're hugely different from anything they've done before in iPads because it's got the M1 chip in it, which is the same chip that powers their latest range of Apple Macintosh desktop and laptop computers. So the MacBook Pro, the MacBook Air, and the Mac Mini. These are all very powerful computers that, you know, run full Apple Mac software, like a PC. And what they've done is they've taken exactly the same chip and exactly the same circuitry as is in these really powerful computers, and they've stuck it in the iPad Pro, which makes the iPad Pro hugely powerful. Also very expensive, I have to say, but hugely, hugely powerful. Now, when you spend that sort of money on something, you want to get as much utility out of it as possible. And whilst having a touch interface where you swipe and zoom with your fingers is all nice, when you want to type a document and do serious work, you want a keyboard and mouse. You know, we still type better on physical keyboards. So what this device is it's a case for your iPad to protect it. built into the back of the case is a kickstand, which you can put it at different angles to tilt it at different angles when it's on your desktop or on your lap or on your knees, wherever you've got it. And then it's got a magnetically attachable keyboard, so it snaps on and snaps off. Okay, so that's what it does, and you can attach a mouse as well if you want to. Now, Apple promotes their own Apple Magic Keyboard as a natural solution and desire for people who have the desire to do this, right? But they charge £279 for the 11-inch model and £329 for the 12.9. Now, at £329, you can actually buy another iPad. Not a pro, but that's a lot of money. It's a very nice bit of kit, but it's expensive. So this is substantially cheaper. Depending on the size, it's either £80 or £130 cheaper. So it's substantially cheaper, but it also has some real advantages. So I don't know if you can see the pictures in front of you, but so the Combo Touch is, as I say, it's got a kickstand at the back and it's got this snap-on keyboard at the front. The keyboard is a similar quality to what you find on a laptop, and it's got a huge trackpad on it, so you can do all the gestures that you would normally do on an iPad. But if you compare it to the Apple Magic Keyboard, on that one the keyboard is not detachable.
Right.
So you're always having to lug around the keyboard, even when you don't want it.
Yeah.
And the way that the iPad locks onto the Magic Keyboard is magnets. It just snaps on, which is great. And, you know, in true Apple style, it's really cool, hence Magic, right? Magic Keyboard. But the problem is, when you don't want to be using the keyboard and you just pull it off the magnets, you've then got a completely bare iPad with no protection. Yeah, the edges are not protected, the back is not protected, the front is not protected. It's a bare iPad.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? Are you going to, every time you take it off, are you going to put it into a separate case, snap it into, you know, push it in and, you know, align it all around, and every time you want to put it back on the keyboard, take the case off it? And
you just wouldn't do that, would
that
you?
That doesn't
just
work
not practical.
For me.
No.
So what happens is you end up using it when it's docked to this thing, which is hugely more heavier and less convenient, and still only attached with magnets, which makes me slightly nervous as well.
Yeah.
So with the Logitech one, it's not only because it's cheaper, but if you can see that keyboard section, you can just pull it into two pieces. The magnet is strong, so it won't fall off. You can actually hold, I don't recommend this, but you can hold the iPad up by the keyboard, i.e. by the strength of the magnet, it will hold it. But when you pull it away, what you're left with is a fully protected iPad all around the edges and at the back, and a kickstand. So you can still prop it up and you can use it, you know, in an upright position and just, you know, use it with your finger or a stylus. By the way, if you look along the top, there's a notch and it will actually take an Apple Pencil and charge it against that. So, it, you know, it's got a built-in charger, which is rather nice.
Great stuff.
And if you've got much more flexibility in the angle. So if you make it quite flat, if you're an artist and you want to draw, you can have it sort of tilted up, I don't know, say about 30 degrees or so from the horizontal. And then you can just, you know, either use your fingers or a stylus to draw on it. So hugely more flexible. Great advantages to it, as I say, not just because it's cheaper. You know, the trackpad's good, the keyboard itself is good quality. None of this would matter if those were poor quality. And it doesn't, you know, with third-party keyboards, you often have to attach them via Bluetooth, you know, wirelessly, you have to pair them. This actually, because it was developed in conjunction with Apple, it uses their smart connector. So when it locks on, there's little dots, which are electrical connections that snap into place. And that means that you don't have to pair it. It means there's no battery inside the keyboard that you have to recharge to make it work and connect via Bluetooth. When it snaps on, it works. When you pull it off, it's gone.
Good stuff.
So I think fantastic. 4.5 stars out of 5. Still not cheap, but massively cheaper than Apple's offering. So the 11-inch version is $179.99. The 12.9 is $199.99. But as I say, that's £129 cheaper than the Apple version. So, but even if it was the same price, I'd still go for this one just because of the extra utility.
Brilliant stuff. Fevzi, you're a superstar as ever. That's Fevzi Turkout from Gadget Detective.